Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it's already been, just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 1, Romans in chapter 1, Faith Promise Missions Month. And last week we preached on the Great Commission. And the idea is we have faith promise because of missions. And we have missions because of the Great Commission. That's where it's all connected, what Jesus Christ established as the work of the church. And if it's the work of the church, it's the work of every member that makes up the local New Testament church. So this morning, Romans chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, it's a blessing to be in church. And thank you for the opportunity that you made available to all that have taken advantage of it, that are here this morning. And for what we've already received, we just give you thanks for that. But now, Father, as we open up your precious holy word and we study in this book of Romans, in this first chapter, this that you have written down, preserved for us. And God, I believe you have a message for each one of us through this passage of Scripture this morning. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, faith promise, we have faith promise because of missions, and we have missions because of the Great Commission. But the question would come to each one of us here possibly today is, why me? What makes it my responsibility to evangelize the world? And I think the Great Commission reveals that to us, that we are to go into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what makes it my responsibility to evangelize the world? I look at the Apostle Paul, and what a great example for New Testament Christianity. Because as an apostle, he actually spoke the very words of God. Jesus Christ came and he called the apostles. And after the apostolic age, the word of God was completed, the full revelation of the word of God. And then we find that through the apostles, there was disciples. And through these disciples, we find New Testament churches. They were scattered abroad, and New Testament churches were planted and started and started going into all the world. And so since that time, it's just been disciples passing on to other disciples and seeing the family of God continue to grow and the church to continue to be established and to grow. But the Apostle Paul, great example. His letter to the believers in Rome in chapter 1 of Romans here reveals much to us pertaining to the will of God. The will of God for New Testament Christianity, which would be the will of God for each one of us that are saved. And so why me? Why me? Why is it my responsibility to evangelize the world? Well, the first thing that we find here from the Apostle Paul is because of what we have received. It's my responsibility because of what I, as a born-again believer, have received. And Paul states that when he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, by whom we have received grace, and for Paul an apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Paul had received this grace of God, and this grace of God was given to Paul, as it's given to all who call upon the name of the Lord, for obedience to the will of God. This is the same grace that God has given to all that have been called to be saints. If we look in verse 6 and 7, among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to all believers. He's revealing it to the believers there at Rome, but God has preserved it for all believers today. And so we look to this, and he says, among whom are ye? And you can put yourself there. Also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And so it's because of this grace that we have an opportunity to receive this gift of God, which is everlasting life. What a blessing that is. So all who have received this gift, according to the Scriptures, have this responsibility. Can I tell you this morning, if you're here and you've never received the gift of everlasting life, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have no responsibility. God has no expectations of you in carrying the gospel into all the world. But if you have received this gift, if you are saved this morning and you know that through this gift, we have the knowledge of everlasting life. You have the knowledge of what you had to do in order to receive it, and that is just believe by faith and then look to Jesus Christ and receive that gift. If you are saved, you know what you had to do, and what you had to do is what every other person that is saved around the globe. There's only one plan of salvation. There's only one way that a person can receive this free gift of everlasting life, and it's through the grace of God, the grace to have faith, to believe, and to call upon the name of the Lord. And so if you have received this gift, then you have this knowledge of everlasting life. I read of a man that had served 5 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. After 5 years, a former friend on his deathbed, he was getting ready to die. He confessed that he had proof to convict another man for this crime, but confessed that he was afraid to tell. And so because he was afraid to tell of the information, the proof that he had that would exonerate this man that had been in prison now for 5 years. On his deathbed, he didn't feel like that he had anything to fear. He was going to die. And so he presents the truth that would exonerate and allow this man to go free. And we think about that and we think, how could somebody live knowing that you have evidence and you have information that would keep somebody from having to spend their lives in prison? And because of fear for your own life, you wouldn't say anything. Can I tell you that there's no difference between that man and somebody that has a knowledge of what it takes for a person to be freed from sin. And yet we're afraid to tell. If you have the knowledge of something that can set sinners free, how can you live your life without telling that? How can you live your life with this knowledge and information that would help somebody else to not only set them free from sin, but deliver them from a devil's hell and allow them to have an eternity with God in heaven? If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you, you have this responsibility to take the gospel into all the world and to tell as many people as you can tell, because you have the knowledge of what it takes for somebody to be saved. Amen. Amen. So it's your responsibility, if you have received the gift of everlasting life, a free gift that God offers to anyone who would just simply believe and call upon Jesus Christ. If you have that knowledge, if you have received this gift, then it's your responsibility. It's what God would have you to do. So why me? Because you have knowledge. You have received that gift of everlasting life. Why me? The second reason, we look here and that's what Paul is saying. He says, I've received this gift, and because I've received this grace that brought to me everlasting life, it was given to me for obedience. Obedience to the will of God. The second thing that Paul records here in Romans in chapter 1 as far as why me and the reason that it is my responsibility to evangelize the world is because of my position. If you're saved, can I tell you, you have a position in this world. God has given to you a position. Now, what was Paul's? Paul here says in verse 5, he says, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. Paul says, I know that I was called to be an apostle, that I was established by the Lord Jesus Christ to represent him and to preach the gospel and to present the very truths that Jesus Christ brought for all people through New Testament Christianity. And so as Paul says, I was called to be an apostle, but can I tell you that if you're saved, all of us are called to a position of service. And Paul is trying to help them to realize that here in Romans chapter 1 as well, that every one of them, they were called to be saints. And God has given you this same grace to you. And this grace is to be obedient to whatever God has, whatever position that God has called you to. So what position have we been called to? If you look at the book of Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this. Let me just read it to you. He says, Jesus talking to the disciples, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When you get saved, you get filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God seals you. He comes within you and he seals you to the day of redemption. And he says, he has come unto you, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be a position of a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and into Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he said, if you have received this gift of everlasting life, and you have this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then you are to be a witness. If you're saved here this morning, then you have a testimony that the rest of the world needs to see and hear. And you have a position that God has given to you as a witness. A witness because you know it to be true. And as a witness, you need to share with others what you know to be true. Because of your position, he also says that we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador. If you're saved here this morning, not only are you a witness, but you have a position as to represent the kingdom of God. You have a position as God has given to you through Jesus Christ to be an ambassador. I mean, stop and think about this. You have an opportunity to represent heaven. You have this opportunity and yet a command to be an ambassador, to be a witness, to be not only that, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. This is the position that every born-again believer has. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know that. You have this knowledge. And because of the knowledge that you have received, it's your responsibility. But not only because of what you received and the knowledge of it, now you have a position to represent Jesus Christ and be a witness, to be an ambassador, to be the salt of this earth and the light of the world. Amen. What a blessing that is. If you're saved this morning, acknowledge that, accept that, and realize because of that, it's your responsibility to tell others. Amen. But not only that, Paul understands that I have, because of what I've received, I've got the knowledge, and now I've got a position in Christ. But he also says something else in verse 14. So many failed to acknowledge. Paul says, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, if you will, to the all people. To all people. So you say, well, had Paul borrowed from all these people? Is he a debtor because he's taken out a loan from all the other people of the world? That's not what he is an indebtor to. That, as far as the dictionary, it says the idea here of being in debt is that which is due from one person to another. He says, I have something that I owe the rest of the world. How is that? Paul had something that he had been given to be able to give to others. And because he had been given something that he was given to be able to give to others, then he said, until I give it, I am a debtor to all people. Brother Scott, if I would, and I'm not going to do this, but if I'd give you $100, but I'd give you $100 and I'd say, Scott, I'm going to give you $100 and I want you to keep 50 of it, but the other 50, I want you to give to Yvonne. And if you kept the $100 and didn't give any to her, would you be right with God? Would you be right with me? If I gave it to him, no, I gave it to him so that he would be able to give what I told him to give to Yvonne. And so until he gives it to her, he owes her. He owes her. That means if you owe somebody something, you're in debt to them. And Paul says, understanding what I have the knowledge of, understanding what Jesus Christ has given to me, and I have received this gift. I have the knowledge of this gift. And I have a position that he has given to me to live by my life. I have a position in this world for Christ. And until I give what God has given to me to give to others, I am in debt to them. And so he says, I'm a debtor. Do you realize that this morning? As a born-again believer, all these reasons, I mean, I have this knowledge, I have a position, but you're in debt, and God knows what he's given to you to give to others. You're in debt to these people until you're willing to give it. Men of character pay their bills, pay their debts. God would have us to pay our debt to the world. Wow. Psalms chapter 107. I love what the psalmist writes. Psalms chapter 107, he says this, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You understand that? He understand God is good. He's merciful to all people. He has grace to give. He wants all to be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish. He wants every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability to receive him as his personal Lord and Savior. You have to do it on your own. No one else can get saved for you, but you have to hear the gospel. You have to have somebody tell you what you need to do in order for you to do it. And so then he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, if you've been saved, then you ought to be shouting it from the mountaintops. You ought to tell anybody who's willing to give ear to you to hear. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Down verse 8, it says this, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God wants you to pass on the information of God. He wants you to pass on how good God is. He wants you to pass on the very love of God to humanity. He wants you to pass on the very grace that is available to you. He wants you to pass on the very mercy that God showed you and is willing to show anyone who will just call upon his name. He goes on in verse 15, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21 and verse 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. You ought to be thankful that God has given to you this knowledge. You ought to be thankful that God has given to you this position. You ought to be thankful that God has given to you something that you can give to others that will make a difference in their lives. Not only will it make a difference in their lives here, it will make a difference in their eternal souls, where they will spend eternity forever and ever. And you have an opportunity to get in on helping people. Helping people. Wow. That's powerful stuff right there. And so Paul says, I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God that I am a debtor to all the world, that I have something that God has given to me to give to them. And so he said, it's my responsibility. He accepts it willingly, readily. And the last reason, why me because of what I've received? Why me because of my position? Why me because of my debt? And then Paul says in verse 5, by whom we have received grace for obedience. And then he says in verse 15, so, after all these other things, because he's a debt, he says, so, as much as in me is, it's inside of me, and all the makeup who I am ready. So the fourth thing is, why me? Because of a desire to be right with God. God has did all this for you, and you know it. How can you not tell others? How can you not share that knowledge that you have? Because of a desire to be right with God, I'm not ashamed. Is that why you're not telling? Because you're afraid or ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ? Can I tell you, the society today in America is a scary society when it comes to those who truly believe in God's Word. What used to be supported by our government and by the majority of everyone living in America, everyone understanding Christianity, everyone who adopted the Christian calendar, that would acknowledge Jesus Christ's birth, that would acknowledge Jesus Christ's resurrection, that would acknowledge Sunday as the Lord's Day, a day to assemble ourselves together and worship Him in spirit and truth, a day to acknowledge and to hear from God. The very same country that used to encourage the Ten Commandments, used to encourage morality based upon the words of God, are now making it very difficult and trying to put a fear in the hearts of people to where they will not tell. They will not stand up and acknowledge the knowledge that God's given you, the position that God has given you, the understanding of the debt that you have to the society. If you're going to be right with God, you have to obey God rather than man. If you're going to be right with God, then you're going to have to look to be obedient to God and do what God says to do. And Paul, going to Rome, would say, I'm not going to come to Rome and be afraid of anyone, be afraid of the people. I'm not going to be afraid of the government. I am going to stand for what I know God would have me to stand for. And he says, when I go to Rome, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just, those that have received Christ, shall live by the faith and doing what God tells them to do. Not ashamed. I'm ready. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The greatest and the most important work of all is getting the lost saved. If God's people will not stand up to the plate and the position that God's given to us, people all around us are going to believe a lie. When people are not hearing the truth, they're more apt to believe a lie. Believe a lie on morality. Believe a lie on if there's an existence of heaven and hell. Believe a lie on the true who is God. Believe a lie on what is truth. God's people will not stand up and be heard and do what God tells you to do in obeying him. People are going to die and go to a devil's hell. Society is going to continue to go down the tubes. Government will continue to pass laws that will hinder the gospel of Christ. The greatest and the most important work of all is getting the lost saved. It will keep them from spending all eternity in a devil's hell. It's a work that God is very pleased with. When we are right with God, we'll want to tell. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed. Are you ready? Are you willing? Do you want to be right with God? Tell somebody. Tell anybody and everybody that will hear that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Missions Month is all about getting souls saved. Souls will not get saved unless we have believers willing to share what the knowledge that God has given to them. To share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share God's plan of salvation with anyone that'll listen. Listen to me. If you're not saved, you have no responsibility, but you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. God wants you to be saved. It's the work of the church to help you to understand that you are lost in need of a Savior. If your eyes were to close in death right now, are you 100% sure? If you're not 100% sure that heaven would be your home, you need to come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and not show you what this church says, but show you what the Bible, God's Word, says, that every person who gets saved has to get saved this way. There's no other plan of salvation. According to the words of God, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and life, and no one will come to the Father yet by Him. This morning is a day of salvation. It's your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. If you are saved, grasp the privilege and the opportunity that God's given to you to make a difference in other people's lives and eternity. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, that you would now just speak to each one as each one has need to be spoken to. And Lord, help them to understand what you would have them to do. Help the lost to want to be saved. Help the saved to want to be right with you and to be willing to stand up and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.